Hey, everyone. Before we get into the episode this week, I just wanted to give a huge nudge to everyone. Try to help out a friend in content design this week. We all know what's going on. There's a lot happening out there with tech, a lot of layoffs, a lot of people who need help. So even if you don't have a job for somebody or a reference, just tap them on the shoulder, ask how they're doing, check in with them, give them some good graces, let them know that they're talented. We're all going through a really tough time, and I think it really matters for us to all stick together as content designers and copywriters and UX writers. Really just check in on one another and say hi. You know, I think it goes a long way. So I just wanted to start with that disclaimer. Wishing you the best week ever, and I hope you're doing okay. And even if you aren't, thanks for listening, and I just want you to know that you're wonderful, you're talented, you got this. Tell someone else today that they're wonderful and they're talented and they got this. Thanks. Okay, so for some escapism and everything that's going on, I went headfirst into the Gucci Sandbox metaverse experience and put on my content designer hat to check it out. So the Sandbox, if you don't know, is one of the big players in metaverse world building and so forth. Gucci did their Vault project in the metaverse. Gucci Vault, the high fashion brand Gucci, created the Vault to do some collaborations, NFTs, all kinds of cool, wild stuff. Side note, this is like way up my alley. Anyways, they did this whole metaverse experience where you can go in, create your avatar, and learn about the Vault and do cool stuff, shop for NFTs and all of this. So I tried it out and I wanted to really dig into the dialogue and kind of look at it as a content designer and be like, what do I think? How could this be better? So I'm going to start by reading the description. Let's see here. So you go to the website for the Gucci Vault Sandbox and you see a call out and it says Gucci Vault Land, a place to experience Vault's experimental essence at 360 in the sandbox. Cool. It's like the elevator pitch. Underneath it says, as the ever-evolving experimental force taking the heritage of Gucci to unexpected dimensions, Vault has expanded in many directions across the metaverse, including the sandbox with Gucci Vault Land. Voxel by voxel, a playground of sorts arises to manifest that elusive threshold between the no longer and the not yet that Vault is forever exploring. Read more, play now. Wow. So talk about voice and tone, right? When you read that, I think high luxury without exactly saying high luxury. It's very highbrow. It sounds like I just read like a description for an art installation or a description for an art in piece in the gallery, using words like unexpected dimensions, the threshold between the no longer and the not yet. It's so funny how descriptions like that make me feel like everything Gucci is doing is priceless and high class without saying it, right? So I think, you know, if I were to call the personality of Gucci, I would say it's an art curator by reading this call out. So I hit play now. I go into the sandbox experience and I create my avatar. Of course, I picked a Hawaiian shirt, some Crocs, and some really funny looking pants so I don't look like I belong in the Gucci metaverse. I look like I am Uncle Eddie from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So I walk around and I find like it's this really spacey environment and I can do quizzes, there's games, there's NFT galleries and RPG characters. But what I'm going to do is read some of the dialogue and think about how would we approach this as content designers, right? Okay, so let's say I'm walking around and then I find this artisan, like this artisan who does this, he's in this like dusty looking workshop. It looks like this is where they make leather and there's drawers and drafting tables and fabric samples everywhere. It's really authentic looking, but it's in this 8-bit kind of sandbox realm. So I walk up to the master artisan and I talk to him and I hit speak and he says, hello there. With over 100 years of heritage, there are countless vintage Gucci items that stand the test of time. I have one auto response I can pick. It says, I bet. So right out of the gate there, I felt like that was a very kind of canned description. Like it didn't sound very the hello there sounds very conversational, but right in there, beginning a sentence with like so like officially and formally by saying with over 100 years of heritage, there are countless Finch. It sounds very formal, and I was kind of like hoping for a little bit more of an informal interaction with this artisan, and so that was a little weird, but. And it sounded like I was reading a website instead of like interacting with a character. So anyways, that's the intro. I say, I bet. And then he says, take for instance, the Gucci suitcase, a signature piece with the classic GG monogram. It echoes the house's origins as a luggage atelier. So that's cool. I mean, that's very conversational. I say, hey, Gucci started out crafting luggage. That's my only auto response. And his response is, yes, from a small atelier in Florence starting in 1921, it has expanded in all directions, creating a kaleidoscopic selection of products. The careful curation of Vault's vintage Gucci pieces reflects this multifaceted heritage. My response is, amazing. I love pieces from the past. I probably would have broken that artisan, that response into two sentences, probably two interactions, because we've got some big words that they are trying to chunk out there to obtain that, what I was talking about at the beginning, that very art curator, luxe, highbrow tone. I mean, we've got the word kaleidoscopic, we've got multifaceted, there's some big words in there, so I'd probably break it up for the sense of voice and tone and for the sense of the reader, honestly. So I respond, oh yeah, that's cool, I love pieces from the past, and then the artisan goes, but remember, at Vault, the past, present, and future coexist in each and every one of the items in... Itemson? Who says that? Only Gucci. It's items on its virtual shelves. Whoa, that's a typo. Itemson, oh my goodness. It should be every one of the items on its virtual shelves. So while every vintage piece is grounded in a moment, it exists out of time. Once again, that very conceptual speak coming from the mountaintop of Gucci with a typo in it. My credibility is shot for this brand. Just kidding. Proofread your stuff, Gucci. Anyways, you can see here the highbrow speak comes into play. They try to keep it on brand. And I think about the writer who was writing this. I would probably recommend some better intros, really kind of chiming in with a little bit more personality. I don't know how an art curator acts, but if there was a little bit of like a hem or something like that that had some kitsch to it, that would be cool. I give it a 4 out of 5, you know, in terms of keeping the Gucci art curator voice and tone going on and on brand. But, you know, there's some work we could have done as writers and, you know, content designers could probably slay this. So anyways, that was a little tour of the Gucci Vault Sandbox Metaverse. My name is Neil Petty, and you're listening to Storytelling for Content Design. Hi, I'm Neil Petty, and this is Storytelling for Content Design. Welcome back to part 2, where I'm going to talk to you about building a brand voice. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for listening. Part 1 of this sort of tutorial has been going great. I'm loving all the notes. If you have any questions or ideas about this podcast, please hit me up at sfcdpodcast@gmail.com. I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can, but really, I expressed this in the last couple episodes. My big prediction is that the more we as content designers can get comfortable with building voice, personality, frameworks, and points of view around traits and how to sound and the nuances of writing for voice, it's going to empower us to make future mediums like the metaverse and AI more interesting and more personalized for brands that we design experience for. I think that can all be rolled up into this skill set called persona building. For now, I think all of us can raise our hands if we can and try to become experts as content designers with voice and tone. brand voice is a gap in a lot of companies. Sometimes they're not always ready. Sometimes people don't have a point of view. So this is something you can raise your hand and do right now. You can really collaborate with your product marketers, creative teams, designers, and everyone's going to have your back on this because it makes the whole thing one awesome customer experience. So in the last episode, we talked about foundations. We talked about how to get your footing when it comes to brand voice, mining for data, getting to know your founders and the emotive traits of the brand and things like that, getting a feel for what the users are wanting, because that might start to inform the voice that you want to create. In this one, we're going to talk through building an actual framework. I'm going to go through an example. But first and foremost, I think when you get to this part of actually building the framework, it's really important to start keeping other teams in the loop of where you are. Check in with other teams, particularly if you have a creative team. Make sure that their copy team and whatnot knows what's going on and that you're starting to pioneer this brand voice and tone and a POV around it. They'll likely be some of your biggest advocates and peers, and they'll likely want to collaborate with you on it. But not just them. Product marketers, even some of the product managers I've worked with are actually find a lot of interest in brand voice because they know that it makes everything more human and better. So just start to check in with people and try not to get too far ahead with the work. So the goal is to get to 3 to 5 traits that help discuss and share what your brand voice personality is. These commonly live in a final style guide. You've likely seen them before. They're usually very different from one another, but they all work collectively to paint a picture of what the brand personality should be. So your goal is to aim for about 3 to 5 we are X, not Y type statements, or clearly just saying we are X, we are Y, we are Z, statements that describe your personality. For example, we are funny, not mean. We are professional, not silly. Things like that. That starts to put some guardrails around what your brand voice is and who you aren't. I think that idea of who you are not is just as important as who you are, because when people pick up that style guide, they need to know how not to write and where not to go to really start to crystallize how this personality works. So one exercise I like to do just as a primer, just to kind of warm up, is I like to think about the people that I know in my life. So as we go out into the world, we have friends, we have family, we have colleagues, we have all these people that we interact with. It might be the coffee shop person that we see every day. And think about those people that you interact with on a daily basis and think about the words you use to describe them. If, you know, I think one of the best keys to building a personality is just thinking about the people that we experience on a day-to-day basis. The world is fascinating because everybody is so different and everybody has different traits. Not one person is alike. Sure, some folks are somewhat similar, but that's besides the point. Think about the people in your life. If you have a funny uncle, you know, what is it about them? Oh, they are dead humor and they are very deadpan or serious humor. You know, there's something about them, this interesting combination that makes their personality like nobody else's. Another good place of inspiration is the Jungian 12 archetype wheel. Archetype. I love how I just said that. The Jungian 12 archetype wheel. You might have seen it. It is kind of this color wheel of personalities, and people have aligned it a lot with brands. You have things like the ruler, the hero, and I'm totally reading this off a graphic that I'm looking at. The creator, they have like the Apple logo next to it. For the hero, they have the Nike logo. For the magician, they have Disney. For the outlaw, they have Harley Davidson. Don't copy this one for one. Don't do that. You want to be original and try to go for something that's fresh and unique to you. But I will say that the archetype wheel does give you some kind of good inspiration. So taking a pass at that, along with the other suggestions I had, will help get you kind of ready. you want to avoid words in your traits that are obvious, right? So saying we are authentic, not fake, is probably not a rule that is going to take a writer anywhere in terms of word choice. Everybody wants to be authentic. Nobody wants to be fake. Saying we are real, not robotic. Everyone wants to be real. Nobody wants to be robotic. So try to avoid some of the obvious. If you're coming up with rules like that or you're collaborating with someone who is, maybe nudge them and be like, well, how would a writer write that? And isn't that maybe the reason we're all here? But I've seen us fall into that trap before. You know, I was doing a big workshop and immediately people just started putting all the warm, great, fuzzy things that we want to be. And that's awesome. Love the participation. But really, when you go and put it down into a style rule, it doesn't really make a personality. Good voice and tone rules also have healthy tension between the two. So sometimes having a we are not word be somewhat appealing is kind of interesting. So if you say we are intelligent, not hip, that is an interesting tension there. Like you're trying to say, hey, like we're kind of a smarter voice. We want to sound smart. We want to maybe be a little more technical, but we're not trying to sound cool. Not that cool is bad and not that hip is bad. We just don't go there. It's not going to fit where we're heading. All right, so let's get into an example of some rules. So I'm going to use a fake case study. I'm going to use the fashion brand J. Crew, which has done a bit of a revival over the past year. I'm using them because actually, this is real. they are due for a reimagining. They have a new CEO who came from Madewell. They have a new men's creative director, a cool guy from New York who really epitomizes that downtown New York cool, who's renovating their threads. So anyway, leadership is in the house, the reimagining the whole brand. And they have to write for their e-com experience, which is definitely a juicy one when it comes to user experience. So let's use them as an example. So we'll say that J. Crew got together and said, we want to learn our voice and tone, but we know our brand purpose is this. Our brand purpose says everybody should feel like they're moving up in the world. I'm just making that up, but if you were to have a brand purpose, it's this idea that J. Crew makes you feel like you're climbing the ladder. I sure felt that way when I was buying my first blue Oxford shirt at my first agency job. Walked into J. Crew and I was like, look at me, I got a job. Oh my goodness. So you can see why I'm picking this one. So let's say we want three voice rules that are going to uphold that idea of everybody feeling like they're moving up. Let's say they came up with three voice rules that would probably sound something like this. First one, we are passionate, not artistic. And I'm going to use some example copy here. When we say we're passionate, it means that we're into it and we sound like something that we are excited about. But we're not artistic. We're not too in-depth and verbose and fancy, kind of like the Gucci example that I was talking about in the opening. So an example of copy would be like this. A passionate way of talking about cashmere would say, our absolute favorite for crisp fall is cashmere. A way to not say it that sounds artistic is, cashmere immerses the body, mind, and soul all into one. So we don't want to go too sappy and artsy with our tone. How about this one? Here's another one. We are relaxed, not loud. So here's like a quick headline. Cashmere, it's here. Not, here comes cashmere, everybody. So really saying relaxed means like we're using as few words as possible. It's very casual. We're not trying too hard by saying like cashmere, it's here. But if we're loud, we're like, here comes cashmere, like extra A's in it, getting really fancy, bring out the band, bring out the trumpets. We don't want to do that. Okay, here's my third and last one. We are observant, not buddy-buddy. So observant sounds something like this. Cashmere makes the walk to lunch worth it. Not buddy-buddy. Buddy-buddy sounds like this. Cashmere, come on, try it on. You'll get it. So you can see the two ways of talking about that. The observant one is like, oh yeah, you know, we noticed, like, this is what you're actually going to do in Kashmir. You're going to walk to lunch and it's going to feel great. And we see people on the street doing this in the West Village right now. And not buddy-buddy, you know, there's brands like Reformation, which crush it at this one, but hyper, hyper, nudge, nudge, friendly, friendly, Kashmir, come on, try it on, you'll get it. That's not on brand. So yeah, totally made those up, full disclosure, but those are some examples of a couple rules that I would say elevate the new cool of J. Crew. So when you have these down, you want to write some write-ups for each, right? Do some really emotive write-ups about the observant thing. Talk about the relaxed and the passionate. Talk about each of those pillars in a way that's going to make me fall in love with this personality trait. Connect it to the why. Connect it to the brand purpose and that feeling of moving up the ladder. And include those examples. All right, so you got your rules, right? You've got your firm framework. It's feeling good. The next thing you want to do is go pressure test it. So if you have this framework down, you don't want to get caught in an area where your personality just isn't working out. So I encourage you to, like, take a couple artifacts, take a couple areas of the experience, and try to write copy for each of them. So this could be things like an email subject line. It could be like sale promo modal pop-up. I'm saying a sale because J. Crew does a lot of sales. How do they keep that voice when they're plugging things for 50% off, for example? Even a prominent headline in checkout. So really get that balance of examples that come from transactional areas and upper funnel, kind of more discovery-based areas, and try it out. Try to write something. Try to take the existing copy and do it in the voice and save your work. Definitely do it because it could end up in the style guide. Another cool thing you can do, which I did at a couple companies, is test it. So work with your research team to do some A/B testing of some copy in isolation. So take some copy that's legacy, that's not so fun, that people maybe don't like, rewrite it in the voice, and then put it in a testing lab with some people. Try it out. See, hey, yeah, you know, person, what do you think about this piece of copy versus this other one? And get some feedback on it. Odds are, if you've done your diligence and you've got a firm point of view, they're definitely going to like the voice-filled version you have and not the more technical old-school stuff. Get to know your research team, and even if you can get a lightweight research test going on, that's going to go a long way. So try that out. Now that you've got your rules and you've socialized it and everything's going great and you have some examples, you want to get some buy-in from other folks. Now, I'm going to back way, way up. The way I describe this process is if you did it on your own and had to assume the responsibility and take it on, you may have to do this and workshop it in a larger setting. And what that looks like is you just corralling all of those people that you built those relationships with, from PR to editorial to marketing, all the others, and get them in a room, take a lunch. You know, it might take maybe longer than a lunch, but get them in a room. I've done this before, and really let them get their thoughts out. Break into groups, have them do some drafts of what do you think we are versus we are not in terms of voice, and start to connect the dots. Odds are people are going to have some similar thoughts on what it is that they think the voice should be, and it will probably align with your hunch. The good thing is that you're doing diligence and going through the exercise of getting signals and ideas from others. So you may have to workshop it. It'll actually save you a lot of socialization later. I've been in that situation where workshop the brand voice, got it done. Everyone knew it. There was nothing to socialize. And then I've been in other situations where I did it with a very small, scrappy team, and then we had to spend months to actually getting it out there and socializing it and doing things like education workshops and writing workshops with folks to really show them what this is and how to use it. So you're going to have to pay early or pay late. It all depends on what you want to do. But the more you keep people in the loop, and honestly, the workshops are really fun. I recommend buying people lunch. I recommend creating a little brief based on all the things I talked about in part one and getting folks together. It's really fun. People are glad that you're there and they're glad that you're helping lead it. And they're glad that someone's thinking about how we sound because it's what best brands do today. So you might end up doing some education writing workshops with folks, and these are awesome. They're really fun. You can do things like Mad Libs, take some movie quotes, have people rephrase them into some cool quotes for on-brand voice or something like that. But yeah, most people will really respect your effort and really enjoy what you're doing, and it's a breath of fresh air from the norm. So take that voice, own it. Best of luck. There's a lot of steps, but trust me, you can get there. And yeah, that's it. Congratulations. You've got your brand voice. And I hope that you're writing fun phrases and it's all on brand and you're telling people what's not on brand and everything from error messages to headlines are sounding great. I really appreciate y'all sticking around and hearing this tutorial for building a brand voice. I hope you learned something. I think that there's something that applies to almost anybody and almost every type of organization. If you have any questions for me, you know I'm here, sfcdpodcast@gmail.com. This is Storytelling for Content Design. My name's Neil Petty. Have an awesome day. Storytelling for Content Design is a podcast from Yodo, who brings your brand story to life through the power of words. Yodo is a brand storytelling consultancy who specializes in the voice, personality, and statements that make your products and your team stand out. Find out more at yodocreative.com.